Hello, and welcome to Listen Up, the E3 Diagnostics Podcast. I'm Susan Robbins. I'm here today with Amy Trussler and Chris Hewitt of Pacific Audiology Group, a company specializing in hearing healthcare provider education. Amy and Chris, welcome to the podcast. Please introduce yourselves.
Hello, Susan. We are so happy to be here today. So I'm Amy. I am the founder of Pacific Audiology Group. Previously, I was a private practice owner. I had a clinic in Squamish, British Columbia, Canada. So I have a lot of empathy and understanding for the demands of that role. I sold my practice in 2019 with the hopes and dreams of working in education for audiologists, as well as pursuing other areas of audiology, such as research and professional support. And that dream developed into what is now Pacific Audiology Group.
And I'm Chris Hewitt. I'm a business partner at Pacific Audiology Group. Amy didn't mention that she is a doctor of audiology. And
thanks, Chris.
I'm a hearing instrument practitioner. Yeah, you're welcome. In Canada, hearing instrument practitioners have a standard sort of formalized training system, but nowhere to the degree of the AUD. But I have worked similarly in private practice. And then I worked for 5 years briefly with Siemens and then William Demant for Oticon Canada in the wholesale side, which is how Amy and I got to know each other when I was her sales rep, and later owned my own private practice, which I also sold in 2019. And that's where Amy and I sort of joined up to form and grow Pacific Audiology Group. Today, specifically, we're going to talk about cerumen management and why it should be part of your practice as a hearing care professional. Amy, your belief is that cerumen management is still in its teenage years. Why is that?
Yes, that is my belief. And that is really because it's only in 1992 that ASHA officially included cerumen management in the scope of practice of audiologists. And as a profession, we're still adjusting to performing cerumen management. It feels awkward to many of us. And one of the factors contributing to that is that often our clients expect that this is something that we can perform, yet often the hearing care professional is not trained or maybe not competent in cerumen removal, even though it is situated within our scope of practice. And this is coming down from a high level where institutions are often not providing adequate training in hearing healthcare education. So as such, as a field, we've not truly grown into this practice. We're still young and adapting to it being placed within our scope of practice, even though it was introduced nearly 30 years ago, and it really should be an everyday procedure. So many professional organizations and regulatory bodies formally agreed with ASHA's 1992 position statement and also recommended that hearing care professionals perform cerumen management. For example, AAA and the ADA in the USA both followed in ASHA's footsteps. And here in Canada, CAA, which we call the Canadian Academy of Audiology. Many of the state and provincial regulatory bodies have guidelines now around training, and some even require certification in cerumen management for both audiologists and hearing instrument practitioners. So cerumen management is a little late to the party, but the need for it was reinforced in the profession.
So teenage years, it's kind of like, you know, a 30-year-old teenager at this point.
It's a 30-year-old teenager.
Sort of the opposite of dog years. So we're moving pretty slowly here. So around the same time that cerumen management did enter our scope, the field of hearing healthcare was really booming and developing at quite a pace that wasn't seen in other healthcare areas at the time. So we were introducing new techniques that were being standardized, impedance measures, real ear measures, OAEs, and even the foam tip for routine audiometry. And all of these procedures had something in common: for them to be reliable, we needed clear and clean ears. And so with cerumen impaction rates above 50, 60% in some populations, and us not being able to manage cerumen ourselves, we had a real problem. And so it made sense that we, you know, as a simple solution, we just referred the service out to other professionals, usually physicians, GPs and ENTs, and sometimes nursing clinics. The alternative to that was often to just perform the audiometric measures with cerumen in the ears, which greatly affects the quality of those measurements. So there was and continues to be a real education and training gap in this area.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that a bit more. So when Ceruma Management entered the scope of the hearing care professionals practice in the 1990s, most of these practice standards or regulations that were published around the subject required adequate education and training, and some also even required mentorship. So this requirement became problematic for the hearing care professional to take on this new practice, since the education component had not been fully developed, yet it was required. And even today, this is still lacking. The US has the most comprehensive audiology education globally, the AUD. And as of 2012, over 50% of AUD program graduates reported that they feel that they received inadequate training and education in Ceruma Management. So this created quite the dilemma for hearing care professionals, as they now had Ceruma Management within their scope of practice. They were only able to perform it after acquiring advanced training, which they often struggled to find. So what this means is that as a field, we're not performing Ceruma Management as much as we could be or should be. And this results in some risks to the hearing care professional that we really want to talk about, specifically in the area of best practice.
Yeah, best practice standards are critical to our profession. If we think of ear canals that are not fully occluded with wax, but may have some ceruma present, this can still compromise audiometric measures, specifically for hearing assessments, impressions, and real ear measures. The fit of ear molds is also dependent on a clean, ceruma-free ear canal during the impression-taking process. And failure to follow these standards is going to lead to decreased client satisfaction and a disservice to the client, and ultimately a disservice to our profession, not to mention the havoc that it can wreak on hearing aids. Most other hearing healthcare procedures rely on a clean ear canal as well. For the private hearing care practice to be viewed as a one-stop shop, which just goes beyond, you know, hearing aid sales and service, it is essential we perform all of the skills within our scope of practice, and that starts with ceruma removal. Bottom line is, we believe it is unprofessional for hearing care professionals not to provide at least a basic level of ceruma management.
I would agree with that. I think this is something that all hearing care professionals should be able to provide. And I want to look at one of the positives of providing this in one of the other positives of providing this in a profession that has been largely bundled. In that, I mean that we bundle the cost of our care into hearing aid sales. Ceruma Management offers the opportunity to bring in fee-for-service work. And common rates of ceruma removal pricing would be typically $35 to $75 per ear. And even without a fee-for-service model, you're still likely going to enjoy a revenue boost from performing ceruma management in your clinic, as it will decrease the amount of appointments that you need to postpone due to ceruma impaction.
Your hearing aid supplier is going to thank you as well as the repair rates diminish. And just as a side note, when I work with Oticon, a lot of the repairs that come in, even though they don't appear to be ceruma related, are largely due to just unaddressed ceruma buildup in the ear canal. It eventually takes its toll on the hearing aids. The situation for ceruma management is improving where continuing education allows for it. Ceruma management practice in the US has increased, specifically in private practice, although we're pretty far from the 100% mark. And education around ceruma management seems to be one of the key limiting factors to us taking ownership of it as a profession. And that's where we as Pacific Audiology Group come in. We specialize in ceruma management training, and we offer comprehensive online and live options, as well as customized mentorships. We started out with local in-person seminars around the Vancouver area, and we decided to add an online component for the theoretical knowledge. This was actually pre-COVID, in an effort to save people from taking a full day off from the clinic so they could do the theory from the comfort of their own home on their own time, and then join us in person for an afternoon of labs and simulations and get the training they needed. And so with COVID-19 ending the group seminars, or at least delaying them, postponing them, we started creating ultra HD video tutorials for ceruma management and we have now fully developed an online program to replace the need for in-person training. We've been training in Canada for a couple of years, and our online course is now approved with the IHS for 4.5 CE credit hours. Lastly, we are developing more courses for HCPs, so stay tuned for that.
So if you're interested in learning more about Cerumen Management Training and our other services, please stop by our website. That is pacificaudiologygroup.com. Join our mailing list or contact us directly at info@pacificaudiologygroup.com. It has been our pleasure to stop by the E3 podcast today, and we hope to hear from you. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.